I'm here with Kristen Artis at the Authors Fair, put on by the Hamilton East Library here at the Forum Conference Center. I see you are promoting a book called Smoke and Light. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, Smoke and Light is my debut novel. It just released on March 5th. So it's a upper YA romantic fantasy with some dystopian vibes. It's set in a world where magic and science meet, and these modern royals are facing off against daring rebels.
So is it contemporary or is it historic?
It's kind of in this interesting in-between. So I like to say the world has its old world heritage, but with some modern flair. So they have elemental magic in this magical forest, and they harvest wood from the forest in order to make like technological advancements. So you have like some of your cobblestone streets and standard fantasy stuff, and then you also have like elevators that are using, you know, like they've harnessed electricity and they use like these wood doors that, because of the magic from the wood, they can open with like a touch screen kind of effect from this person's palm, that kind of a thing.
So of all the things you could write about, why this?
Well, the story came to me from the characters first, and that's typically how I write. It's a very character-driven book. And so I knew Kara, the main character, and I knew that she was dealing with memory loss from a rebel attack. And so the book is really her journey to figure out, like, who am I? Who do I want to be? And really restore those memories so she can be the best princess and, deal with the war that's going on between the rebels and the royalty and all of that. So it just kind of stemmed from there.
The book is Smoke and Light. The author is Kristen Artis. I'm with Anitha Sharma. She is the author of the book True Genius. So tell us about your book.
So the book is about a pair of siblings who stumble across an unexpected mystery involving their family's past. So they learn a lot about themselves and each other.
So how did you come up with this idea? I assume it's a fiction book, obviously. So where did you come up with the story idea?
So I was watching a lot of like TV shows and movies surrounding families, and especially like single parent families. So that kind of inspired me. And also I had a friend who also had a single parent. So I've always like wondered what that was like. But fortunately, I have a family with two parents that but I wanted to explore this idea. So I just came up with two characters, one being a 13-year-old. Sister, and then the other is 11-year-old brother, and I created my own twist on the single parent family idea and them going on an adventure. So
the book is True Genius, and Anitha Sharma is the author. I'm with B.A. Williamson, and he's one of the authors here at the Hamilton East Library Authors Fair. I see you have a book, Gwendolyn Gray, if I got that right. Tell me about your book.
Well, it's about a young girl named Gwendolyn Gray who lives in a dystopian world run by the faceless men, where there's no ideas or creativity at all. And she has the power to escape and jump into other stories. And so she goes on a genre-hopping adventure to learn how to save her world with pirates and steampunk and robots, vampires, fairies. So it was my excuse to play around with all of the different genres of fantasy and sci-fi all at once.
Well, you've put several together there. How did you come up with that world in your own mind?
Really, it's just a combination of everything I like growing up: Narnia, Lord of the Rings, The Giver, Doctor Who, Star Wars, and trying to find a way to blend all that so that I didn't have to choose what kind of story I could pick. I could write a story about stories and the impact they have on us.
B.A. Williamson is the author, and the book is Gwendolyn Gray. Thanks for your time. I'm with author Brandon Eldridge, and the book is The Establishment. Tell me about your book.
Yeah, so this is a suspense thriller. It's about a group of kids who are abducted. I was watching the news one night, and there was a story about human trafficking, and I wanted to write a story from their perspective, from the teenagers that are taken. And it's kind of a feel-good story. They fight back, and kind of this story is about everything that goes on while they're there at the establishment, what happens to them. Some dark moments, but feel-good underdog story in the end.
How old are the children in the book?
So the main character, Henry, is 14, and the age ranges are from like 14 to 16 here.
So you got your inspiration for the book from the news.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's weird. I wasn't looking for it. I was just watching the news one night, and that story came on about human trafficking, and you, it's kind of crazy how it's in your own backyard and people don't realize it. So I wanted to kind of get back at those guys in a way and write a story on the good guys winning in the end. So that's where it came from.
Brandon Eldridge is the author, and the book is The Establishment. I'm with Nan Reinhart, author of Make You Mine. So welcome. Good to talk to you. Tell me about your book.
Sure. My books are all take place in a small town in Indiana on the Ohio River called River's Edge. This one, Make You Mine, is the latest book. It just came out on Tuesday. But there are 11 books in the series so far. And all the characters show up in all different books, so everybody's sort of connected. And I'm just having fun writing about small-town romance.
I would say small towns are always fodder for great stories, right?
Absolutely. And you wouldn't think there'd be that many single people in one small town, but by golly, there is.
So, again, it's a series of books. I just mentioned your latest one. What's the inspiration? Why? What motivated you to become an author, I guess?
I think it was the people in my head. I have this line of people in my head who want their stories told, and so I just start talking to them and letting them tell me their stories.
Nan Reinhart, author, latest book is Make You Mine. Thank you. I'm with Kevin Yaney, author here at the Hamilton East Library's Author Fair. He has three books themed at the 4th of July, Call to Arms, Sifting of the Hearts of Men, and My Brother's Keeper. So there's a theme, obviously. It looks like it's a Civil War theme. So tell me more about your three books.
Well, thank you, Larry. Yeah, they are Civil War themed. It's about two brothers, George and Will McLean, who leave their widowed mother, Louisa, and they join the Union Army. Kind of steal away in the middle of the night and head to Indianapolis and join the Union Army. And a lot of that happened right at the beginning of the war, 1861. A lot of people from Indiana might not know this, but 1 in 10 Union soldiers came from this state. So we're a relatively small state, but we supplied 10% of the Union soldiers.
Yes, yeah, so we were a bit of a border state in the sense that a lot of the South was just south of us. And I'm not sure Indiana always gets the credit it deserves for its participation in the war. So tell me a little bit about the characters.
Well, the characters, George McLean and Will McLean, the brothers. George is the older. George actually goes with his neighbor, Chester Gerber, to Indianapolis. They're 18 years old, just old enough to join the Army. And they run into a radical abolitionist. Radical abolitionists are people who, like John Brown, you might know from history, who are going to end slavery any way they possibly can. And so they get quite a name for themselves prior to the war and during the war. And so his name is Reverend Turner. He's quite a preacher. He'll preach to anybody about the abolition of slavery, but he is. They get involved in a spy ring, too, known as the Jesse Scouts. These are actually did happen, and Union soldiers dressed up as Confederates went behind the lines and got information or spread misinformation. So Reverend Turner is using the Jesse Scouts and the Union Army to run slaves out of the South, and these two guys are unbeknownst to them, get roped into being abolitionists themselves.
How much research did you have to do? Obviously, these are fictional characters, but you want to have some factual basis to it. How much work did you do preparing to write these books?
A ton. This is the thing about writing about the Civil War. There's a lot of people who know a lot about the Civil War. There have been, I've been told this, more books written about the Civil War than there have been days since the Civil War. Okay? It started 163 years ago. So, yeah, there's been a lot of books written. And so, yeah, there was a lot of research done.
Kevin Yaney, his books, 4th of July, there are three books about the Civil War. Kevin Yaney, good luck and thanks for talking to me. I'm with Janice Thornton here at the book fair from Hamilton East Library, and she is one of the authors here with a long list of books. Several of them are themed, so I have one from the tornadoes from 1965. I have a lot of my friends who went through that and have some terrifying stories of that, but you have several books, several different storylines. Tell me a little bit about the types of books you like to write.
Well, I write history, mystery, and true crime. And I love them all, but I'm currently finishing up my second collection of 20 historic true crimes, all set in Indiana. And I hope that one will be out later this year.
Do you have a particular part of Indiana that you center the books? Or?
No, I'm trying to spread it around evenly.
So when you obviously have crime as the... As the central storyline of all these books, tell me why you decided to center on that. Is it just because those are where the best stories come from? Or just tell me a little bit about that. I mean, obviously you want to create conflict if you're going to write a story. That's where yours comes from.
It's mystery is what I love the idea of trying to solve a mystery. But the other true crime books are all, I call them historic true crimes, because I like to take a look back, you know, and into the past and remember these people that went through these horrible things that we've long forgotten, you know, kind of a way of honoring the victims and reminding people that, you know, that things weren't that different, you know, 100 years ago than they are today.
How much research did you have to do? Since even though you're creating fictional stories, you want to have some factual basis to them.
Well, the fictional stories, yes, that does require some research. And I do have some friends who are in law enforcement and even in the state police. I have a friend who was in charge of the state police crime lab. So all that's very helpful. But my two cozy mysteries the protagonist for my two cozies is a newspaper editor. And so I've had that experience myself. So in fact, when people read those books, they may even recognize themselves because I kind of, you know, draw from some of my friends and not their names, you know, that inspires me. But as far as the true crime, I really enjoy that research. I go back and look at the old newspapers, which is a wonderful resource if you're looking into the past, because back in the, you know, the old days, they put everything in the newspaper, everything.
I wonder how historians and people doing research of this era are going to find it.
I have often wondered that myself, because they're going to be, I don't know, if there's a way to look back in the internet, you know, in 50 years, I don't know. But I also, you know, the local historians are a big help. The clerks, the county clerk's offices have old court records, and
Your latest book, the one you may be pushing now, what's the name of that?
It will be No Place Like Murder 2, like the first book, only this will be the second. And it's another collection of 20 very old true crime stories.
Her name is Janice Thornton, author here in Fishers at the Fishers Authors Fair. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you.
I'm with Ariella Talix, one of the authors here at the book fair put on by the Hamilton East Library. Her most recent book is Group Hug, and I see on the cover of the book that you have both humans and dogs. So I assume both are part of the story.
Absolutely. The dogs kind of help bring the family the relationship, we'll say, together. It's three roommates who have a love affair and a permanent relationship, ultimately.
So the dogs are just sort of like observers?
They're part of the family, yes.
Is this the kind of book you like to write? I see you have other books out here as well. Just kind of give us an idea what sorts of stories you like to tell.
Well, I started out writing just standard boy-girl romances, and it was kind of a family saga. And then there was a spin-off of that, another series that was romantic suspense. And then I got the idea to write an MMF story, so I started with The Rule of Three, and sales kind of skyrocketed, so that kind of became my thing. So I have, several series, I'm currently writing a historical series. I've written two books, and I'm writing the third now about the California Gold Rush, also MMF, and it was historically correct, I might add.
Which is not easy to do.
Yeah. Well, the research on that is incredibly difficult and time-consuming, but I love it because it's fascinating.
Of all the subjects you could write about, because an author could sit down and begin writing about anything, why did you decide to write about these sorts of stories?
Well, the Gold Rush actually was because of family ties. And I'm a fifth-generation Californian, and our sort of patriarch got to San Francisco just after the Gold Rush and made his fortune because of it being a boom town. So I kind of snowballed off of him a little bit, and he makes a little cameo appearance here and there. And the third book, the characters end up in Southern California, which is where I grew up, and so it just kind of followed what my family did way back when.
Ariel Italics, the most recent book is Group Hug. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm with Kate Serene, and she is an author of many books, the most recent, Better Watch Out. Pleasure to be talking to you today. Tell me a little bit about just what sorts of stories you like to tell in all your books.
Okay, well, my Transplanted Tales series is a romantic paranormal romance and urban fantasy series. It's similar to in kind of the tropes as Once Upon a Time, the TV series that used to be out, where fictional characters have been transplanted into our world, and then there have lots of mysteries that they're trying to solve. And then I also write romantic suspense. I have two romantic suspense series. One of them is a law enforcement, and the other is secret societies.
So tell me about the most recent book, Better Watch Out. What is that all about?
Better Watch Out is a holiday-themed novella that originally appeared in Shifters and Mistletoe with seven other romantic and paranormal romance authors. And it's the sixth book in my Transplanted Tales series and features Icelandic folklore.
And how did you come up with that idea?
Interestingly enough, my eldest son was traveling to Iceland that year, and that kind of inspired the idea to look into that. And it wasn't a culture that I had really explored before, and it was very interesting.
Kate Serene is the author of several books, the most recent, Better Watch Out. Thanks and good luck to you. I'm with Janet Schwind here at the Hamilton East Library's Authors Fair. I see you have a couple of books here. Tell me about your books.
All right. Well, the first one is called Just Publish It, The Ridiculously Simple Way to Self-Publish Like a Pro. So I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but basically I've been doing editing and self-publishing coaching for about 13 years, and I finally decided I need to write the book to help people out, because so many first-time authors come to me and they don't know what to do. They've written a book maybe, or they're writing a book, but they just don't think they can do anything with it. So it just sits there, and I'm really encouraging them in a lighthearted and humorous way that they can write their book and they should write their book, and it's not that hard to do.
Self-publishing has always been, I've been told, difficult and expensive, but has technology and other factors made it easier in this day and age?
Yeah, it's definitely doable and easy, and that's one of the main points of my book also, is just all you have to do is follow these basic steps. Anybody can do it, and it's not that expensive. In fact, you can lose a lot of money trying to go through like a hybrid publisher, where they expect you to pay a lot of money to do these very simple things that you can get done yourself using, you know, contractors, you know, gig contracts, things like that, you know, working with designers, a professional designer to do your interior and your cover design, a professional editor like myself. And so those are your basic costs, is your out-of-pocket costs is getting your cover and interior done and having professional editing done, and the rest of it is actually free, so you can self-publish for free. So it's definitely something you should do. If you want to write a book, you should do it.
So if you have a book in you and you know how to write, that's something you would recommend people do. The book is Just Publish It. The author is Janet Schwind. Thanks for your time.
Let me get a picture.
I'm at the Hamilton East Library's Author Fair, and I'm here with Jack Luger, who has a few books here that he has for sale. Ceci and the Path to Lyra is the most recent book. It's part of a series. So tell me about your books and the types of stories you like to tell.
Sure, yes. The Ceci and the Path to Lyra is the third book in a series about Ceci Nielsen, who is a teenage female who lives in the state of Washington. She goes to a boarding school there, and in this series, basically, she discovers her connection to Norse mythology, and so she is called upon to battle the goddess Hel, which is H-E-L, and she then, in the second book, does a race to Odin, which is an unorthodox type of race that she is unfamiliar with. But in the third book is The Path to Lyra, and Lyra is her mother, who is an elf queen that she was unaware of because she had not known her mother for many years because she thought she had passed away. So this is a story where she comes in into just realization that she's connected to this Norse, what we would say mythology, which to her obviously is no longer mythology but a reality, and has to save friends and family and the school from this potential destruction.
So, obviously, you have to create this world. Norse mythology, did I get that right?
Yes.
Most people don't know what that is. Explain that.
Yeah, well, obviously, most people are familiar with the Greek and Roman mythology, and so the Norse also had a mythology. We are probably most familiar with Thor and Odin. So Thor, who we call the superhero from the Marvel comics, actually is a Norse god, and so it's really based around those characters and just kind of playing around with that mythology. It was just a fun experience to kind of just take that journey.
So what drew you to becoming an author, particularly this genre of books?
Well, to tell you the truth, my background's in film and television for screenwriting. I was a sitcom writer out in Los Angeles and a producer out there for several years. When I moved back to Indiana, the opportunity to really make film and television is not as prevalent. And the great thing about writing a book is that when you're done writing, you're done. When you write a screenplay, you still have to shoot the film. And so that drew me to novel writing, just to do that experience. And wrote a kid's series, a middle grade, first through fourth grade series about a cat detective. And after I ran through a few books of that, decided to try young adult novels and just exploring that creativity that's inside me and something fun to do.
One last question, because I know writing a screenplay, I've never written one myself. I know people who do.
Yeah.
A totally different concept than writing a book, as you said. In some ways, it's actually easier because the screenplay is the first step. You actually have to produce whatever it is you're trying to put on a screen. So I would have to say that you have to take a completely different approach in writing a book.
You do. Actually, I believe it's the other way around. I think screenwriting is harder than novel writing. And the reason being is that you have to tell a complete story and you're limited to 100 to 110 pages approximately. So you have to really be attentive to the words you're using and the description that you use so that you can keep it condensed and still tell as much information in some ways. That's why when people say, oh, I read the book and the movie's not as good, well, the book had 500 pages to tell the story in, and the screenwriter had 100. And so that's what's so hard about it. But I always tell, I teach at Anderson University, and I tell my students, if you master screenwriting, you will become a better novel writer.
Jack Luger is the author. The character is Ceci. The most recent one is Path to Lyra. Jack, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Larry.
I'm with Melody Personette here at the Hamilton East Library's Author Fair. She has several books that she has written, many geared toward young adults. The most recent, If Wishes Were Pearls. So tell me a little bit about the books you write and the characters you like to write about.
Almost all of them are young adult fantasy. Very like the characters, I feel like they're all a little bit different. Just whatever comes to me, I guess, whatever like fits the story. Yeah.
So do you, when the characters you write about, do you include people you know or have met, or do you make them up out of scratch? How do you create your characters and your storylines?
Usually they're not inspired by anybody. I feel like that might cause some problems if friends read them. Sometimes I'll take like friend names, but the characters have nothing to do with them. I just like the names. Usually like all of my characters, I feel like a lot of them have little parts of me in them. Like I wouldn't say all of them are like just like me, but I think it helps when I'm writing to like take parts of my story or just like my personality or whatever and just put them in there a little bit, because then it connects me to them and just like I feel like it gives it more like the story more heart kind of, because I'm like really like putting my all into it.
Tell me about the story, the most recent book, If Wishes Were Pearls.
So it's two point of view. So there's Nora and Riven. They're both main characters. It follows Nora, who grew up an orphan. She was sent to an insane asylum because she has like water powers, and she accidentally killed two men, and her like adoptive mother was kind of sick of it. Like she had been causing problems like all of her life, and that was kind of it. And so she sent her away. And then on the other side, there's Riven, who's also an orphan, but he grew up with the pirate lord. He was like trained by him, and they kind of end up coming together and to find like a common goal of finding the Siren Temple. So they both have different reasons for looking for it, but yeah, there's romance, there's adventure and magic.
Melody Personette, author, her most recent book, If Wishes Were Pearls. Thanks for your time. I'm at the author fair here at Hamilton East Library, sponsored by the library at Forum Conference Center. And talking to Brad Jones, I've talked to him before. He was a school board candidate several years ago, and you may see his blog, and he's very present on Facebook and obviously very involved in what's going on around town. You are best known as a technical author. You have your technical books out here, but you like to write all sorts of books. So tell me about the books you enjoy writing and you have right here.
Well, I have a couple kids, so a lot of what I do for fun in the publishing area is create books that I think my kids would like. So I've created several pun joke books. So I've got a dad joke book and then one focused on animals and one that does a pun a day. So it makes it easy to annoy your kids every day. And then I've also done some other books. I've done a dots book that's just a game book, like the dot game you play at the restaurant when you're waiting for your food. And then a few years ago, I wanted to see all the parks and fishers. So I created a book called Spot the Difference, where I went to all the parks and fishers at the time and took a bunch of pictures, put them into a book. And then there's two pictures on each page where you compare and try to find the differences and at the same time learn about the different parks that are here in town.
Yes, I'm sure my wife and daughters could have given you plenty of material for dad jokes. But let me talk about, because I really am fascinated by the fact that you decided to write a book, which I assume has a lot of illustrations, and I'm just thumbing through it now, lots of illustrations in it. And Fishers is sort of known to have put a heavy emphasis on the park system. What did you learn about the parks and Fishers writing and do the photography on this book?
Fishers has an amazing number of parks, and there's little parks tucked in corners, and there's big parks that everybody's aware of. I mean, we've got sledding hills on the west side and the east side. We've got bike trails that are for mountain-type bikes that have tree houses that you go by. I mean, the biggest thing about doing the park book was just, one, discovering all the parks and seeing the different things that are here, because there are a lot of different things here in Fishers that you would never know or never even find. Like there was a nickel plate park before there was a nickel plate trail. There was a nickel plate trail before there was a nickel plate trail, with a hidden pond lake that you can go find with a pier that you would never know unless you go over by where nickel plate is in between 106th and 116th Street and start walking through the woods. It's just, there's a lot here.
My wife and I had our first house in Sunblessed, and so my young daughters, who are 30 now, twins, when they were young, I took them to Holland Park all the time, which is known as the first park in Fishers.
Yeah, and even there, Holland Park. I mean, and the other thing about our parks that's really cool is they're evolving and they're continuing to evolve. And Holland Park, you know, Roy Holland Park is a prime example where, you know, it was a big fieldish kind of thing with some baseball fields. It's got some trees. But then, you know, they added a splash park. They added a really nice playground. I think pickleball might be there now. I mean, it just keeps growing. You know, and I go there and fly kites. I go there and do other things. And it's just, again, one of the amazing parks and not even the most interesting necessarily in town.
Bradley Jones, best known or making money, I guess. It's not the other books maybe are not big money makers, but you do write technical books, and you have them all here. And you also write a number of books for fun, the Book of Puns, the Dad Jokes, and, of course, Spot the Difference, a book of city parks and fishers with lots of illustrations and photography. So, Bradley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry.